A reading from St. Matthew, the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The key, of course, is that he didn't need any of it. And St. John the Baptist totally got that. And that's why he was so utterly befuddled when our Lord presented himself at the water's edge. Didn't make any sense. Heaven had never been closed to him. Heaven was his home. His Father had always delighted in him. Delighted in him from before the foundations of this world were laid. The Holy Spirit had always rested on him, and through him had flowed out to the creation. So why is he there? Why does he tell John to pour the water over him? Why does he stand like a sinner when he is the only sinless one? He supplies the answer himself: to fulfill, to fill up all righteousness. You see, if he didn't need a blame thing that happened there at the Jordan River that day, you do. You need it all. Since the moment our first parents disobeyed the words of God and were ushered out of the garden, with the cherubim and their flaming swords turning every which way to guard the way back in, we've been an exiled people, a people who are living away from the home which God had made for us. And the longer you live in this world and watch home after home vanish, the more you will understand that here, this lasting home that we all ache for cannot be found. Not here. And even more, it's not just that you've lost home and a place, you've lost the relationship you were meant to have. You've lost your Father. At least, you've lost his good pleasure in you. He's holy. He does not, and he will never delight in the sinfulness that you have embraced, that you still embrace, that you clothe yourselves in. It remains eternally under his curse. How did the poet put it? "Oh, holy love, that canst not brook man's cool and careless enmity. Oh, ruthless love, that will not look on man robed in contempt of thee." And of course, the Holy Spirit cannot and will not and does not make his home. And those who live in this rebellious state, this pride and arrogance that dares to pit puny human will, what I want, against the commandment and will of Almighty God. So yeah, you better believe, we need what Christ received that day. Needed it desperately, more than we can even dream or imagine. We needed to be restored to our true home. We needed to become the beloved children of God in whom He delights. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so He came, both into our flesh and into baptism's waters. Pastor Peterson in Fort Wayne, he put it so bluntly. He said, baptism's water didn't make him clean, it made him dirty. He stepped into the flood so that everything that is ours can wash onto him. With his baptism, he's already taking his first steps to this place, to the cross. He comes to stand in solidarity with sinners. But because he really did take all that is yours upon himself, and it didn't wipe him out, and it didn't destroy his love for you, he really does reach you in the gift of the baptism he commands on the other side of the resurrection from the dead, everything that is his. And so note the present tenses. I didn't say he reached you. I said he does reach you. Baptism, though it happens but once in your life, it keeps on giving its gifts forever. The word in the water goes on giving. We don't need to repeat the action. It's begun, and it never ends for you. Did you see how the Catechism puts that so very profoundly? What benefits does baptism give? Not what benefits did baptism give? The answer, present tense. It works forgiveness of sin. Present tense. It rescues from death and the devil. Present tense. It gives eternal salvation. Present tense. To all who believe this, present tense. As the words and promises of God declare, present tense. When you are baptized, no matter how long ago it was, it ain't some done and over deal. It's a fountain that keeps on flowing, a gift that never ceases to give, a promise from your God that goes on holding you as His through every moment of your life, right up to and even through death itself. Jesus is not done the work that he does in his baptism until you are safe on the other side of death, raised in your body to partake of his own resurrection forever with all his saints. Baptism embraces the whole of your life. I know it sounds wrong, but think about it. Baptism doesn't actually forgive sins so much as it forgives sinners. Get it? The whole of you. All of you. So the gifts that the Lord put there for you in the water are always there for you as often as you return to it. The open heaven. The delight of the Father in you as his beloved child, as you're in his Son. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. More life there in your baptism than you're going to be able to use up in an eternity. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So people loved by God, rejoice in the baptism of our Lord Jesus. All your sin and death your Jesus has borne. And though he suffered and died, it didn't conquer him. He conquered them. And he lives forever. Risen from the dead, he's commanded this baptism that you have received in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.